on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You are listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Bohemian FC are still on the rightful perch on top of the table. However, there's been a couple of hiccups along the way, but I suppose as long as we've been alive, have Bo's ever done it easy? Absolutely bleeding not. And I've got two lads here who've probably seen Bo's do everything fucking hard over the years, and I'm delighted to have the two brothers, Jack and Rory Crown, on the podcast. Lads, welcome on.
Cheers, Josh. Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Very delighted.
Yeah, short and guest this week, so as you said,
yeah,
I
think it's it. Bottom of the list. Look at the lads, though.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do it.
Two staunch balls lads here tonight, anyway, and we will look back on the last three fixtures. But I suppose we'll go back to the scum game.
Yeah, we lost. Get over it.
Yeah, fuck that.
Don't want to speak too much about it, but I suppose the one thing to take from it was nearly like a Jesus, how far actually you are behind the
years.
I just think the way the game panned out, it was sucker punch before half time. Lads just never recovered today. It was just one of them games. But look, recovered brilliantly up in Derry. Getting a win up there, unbelievable. Yeah. And now we are backs against the wall. Derry had a lot of the ball, but look, that doesn't matter. 3 points up in the Brandywell, take it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we all went into that weekend, we all would prefer the 3 points against Rovers, against Derry. Yeah. Because, look, I think, truth be told, everyone's still expecting Rovers to kick on. I know they had a hiccup against Shells again, so you do wonder, you know, where they really are at, and although they're still unbeaten. Mm-hmm. You would have been rather being those extra few points there to scum than Derry, but look, either way, we went down to the Brandywell Monday and won. And I suppose a lot to take from that game was that we came off with no injuries, mainly on that poxy pitch, and came down with 3 points, and which both teams haven't really done down the years.
It's not one that we've done well. We've got a cup game a few years ago, we got a result up there. Usually it's a bar and nil all draw, or we get beaten, so it's great to get the 3 points. And as you said, no injuries, because I think a lot of teams have suffered up there.
Yeah, Sligo had two
bad. Even Derry themselves, like, man, they're missing Connolly big time.
100%.
So it'll be interesting to see how they go over the next few weeks as well, Derry.
I think we deservedly won up there as well, like, so I mean, so it's just fucking disappointing. I think there's still a bit of inconsistency there as well, like, you know, so, but I don't know. We've definitely improved, so it's just fucking.
Yeah.
I said
any game we have won, we've deserved to win.
Yeah.
There's been no game that maybe Sligo's your only argument there, but at the same time,
anyone could have won that game.
There was no standout team, but if Sligo had won it, you would have went, meh. If we had won it, it's merely. But either way, there was no game really that we didn't deserve to get something out of down the line.
I think when you look at it, we're playing well, and even when we're not playing well, we're still getting results.
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign at times.
Yeah. There's definitely a bit of optimism for the rest of the season, I think. And
definitely,
I suppose after winning in Derry, just goes to show the highs and lows of football. We went back into another Dublin derby and Pats on Friday. And probably a bit disappointed now. We played 4 Dublin derbies and lost 3 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've been unlucky. Like, we're unlucky away against Shells at sending off, changed the game. I think if we finish that game at 11 men, we probably get something out of it.
We definitely don't lose anyway. Yeah.
No, we don't, no. Look, the Rovers.
I didn't think that was a sending off, though, to be fair. I think he was nudged in the back. Say, some people might argue, but me personally, I didn't think it was a sending off, Conley's one. He's nudged in the back. I know it's a fucking thing, but
you give yourself rope to hang yourself.
I don't know. Might be just me, but I don't know.
I think a lot of teams are probably kind of just highlight Conley as well, but that, like, he's an aggressive player.
He's
a
limited
player.
Yeah, he's mad. We played him, I'm sure, for fucking 13 years.
I would have played up and gone up in schoolboy. And fucking had him for pace, he was about 15.
the Pats game, as I said, Jarvis, I think we started the game, we came out of the blocks, and then we just had a mad 20 minutes. Probably not even 20 minutes, 15 minutes, where you know, we go down to 10 men and we concede three, got like very easy goals.
It was a hell of a
corner,
I don't know, it's just, I think Jimmy's just probably struggling for a bit of confidence, I think, coming back into the team and didn't play for a full year.
People have to remember that. Your goalkeeper not playing for years.
He's trying to build, like, he's just trying to get a bit, like, his confidence back up, and it's hard coming into a team, like, going in top of the league, and then he makes one mistake, and you can see some fans are on him already, like, and that's obviously in his head, but, look, defensively, I thought, like, Jay Ben, he's still young, but the third goal, he had to throw his body across and get it out for a corner, you know, it was just way too easy.
He tapped him well. Saving it in the first place, and he scrambled across back to goal to try get something on, like, anything on his body. But like, where's your fucking fullback there? I know Jay Benz, everyone said he's not good enough after one bad game.
And I think he's a very nice player.
He is a decent player. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard fucking how people's mindset can just change. Like, it seems to be like we have one bad game, it's doomsday button just is hitting. Now the world is coming around, but he's shy, he's a wanker, he's no use, what's he doing? And it's like, then you win the next week and everyone's wanking them off again, more or less.
I know, it's, look, that's football, isn't it? Not just in balls, it's everywhere.
As I said, there's fucking Pats fans calling for Clancy's head fucking literally 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now they're all fucking,
that's the league this year, but like, it's like everyone's beating each other. And like, I think if at the start of the year, if we were to be sitting here without playing a game and you're trying to say, where would you want to be after 10 games? Top of the league is
probably, 4 points.
Tell me what, we shouldn't be complaining. We'll take it, like, and just take each game as it comes.
As I said, we were never going to do that easy. We went 1-0 up. And of course, being in the delirium of Jesus, Rovers are actually losing at that stage as well.
What a goal, by the way, by McDonald.
I thought it was a half volley. It was actually a full on volley.
It was
a fucking cracker. Yeah, I thought it was a McDade originally, and you know, I thought it was a half volley, and I watched the replay. I was like, "Fucking hell, that's some bleeding strike."
Peach
was, but he's probably been a real proper engine in the game.
He's been a best signing, I think.
He reminds you nearly of Bucco in terms, but he
has that quality on the ball.
But he has a bit more quality on the ball than Bucco, and I think he presses a bit more as well. Like, he's a bit more aggressive and in your face in terms of forward positions.
Definitely.
But I turned around to Aaron Rennick in the delirium of being 1-0 up, Rovers 1-0 down. All of a sudden, you know, you're back. I think it was 10 points, isn't it?
It would have been 10 points.
I was thinking, I said, turn around to Rennick and Rennick. So this would be proper Bowles way to win that title in 10 years, wouldn't it? We'll win it with about 10 games to go. It'd be the biggest anti-climax in the world. Like,
That would never happen.
They would play the Leicester job on
it. But it would never happen. But imagine how fucking shit it'd be winning a league title with 10 games to go. You couldn't enjoy it. Absolutely enjoy it fully. But you know, you wouldn't have that end of season you're sort of hit, coming and going, you know, on top or second or whatever like that. Of course, Jesus Christ, we'd love nothing more, but you know, we're not going to win the league by 10 points.
It's going to be, it's a long old season. And it can happen. As you said, like, look at Pats, they were calling for Clancy's head, and now they're sitting in second, four games unbeaten. It's just, that's the way the league is. And like, we could be sitting here in 2 months' time and be calling for Decky's head. You never know.
Yeah. But said, it's mad. Like, you can just go on a run of games, and with the position we're in, if a run of games does come together, we could be fucking, as I said, we'll touch on the games later, but if we win the next three, which people not expect us to. Well, we are expecting to. Like, if you look on paper, you say we win those three games, I think we'd be 7 points clear. Like,
we should be winning the next three games. Like, they're the games that you look at and say they're 9 points, especially looking at where the teams are. Draw it away, I always feel, is a bit of a bananas game, but they haven't been playing great. It's just a tight pitch. It'll probably be a tight game. Score first, I think we'd be comfortable. Then look, Cork and UCD, the whipping boys, aren't they? They gave us a bit of a scare first half in Daily Mail, but the lads recovered very well. And that's something that you can see in the team. They've a great character this year. You seen that in the second half against Pats, like 10 men, and we pinned them for
45 minutes. Even at half time, I think there's still something here from this match.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Pats were no way chase. You just had these 10 minutes where we just fucking completely lost the match in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, we were just so open and everything was just going their way. And then even as a half time, like, if we can get a goal, and like, Pats just were pinned back from the get go, whether they didn't want to come out or whatever
I think
it was.
They just sat back naturally, though, well, didn't they?
My main concern of the second half was just felt Caspar is a technically excellent centre half. I think he's a fucking Rolls Royce in the ball, but I think he's been shown up against physical strikers.
Oh, Draper, Gaffney,
Gaffney and Owen Doyle, they've just bullied them.
I don't want to go back to the fucking Rovers game, but we thought Gaffney made them two look like they were playing with fucking Glebe North or something.
Yeah.
I was going, how the fuck is this chap leading? Like, he just random. Now, I don't know if they. I think in all the games that they've played, they've just looked so comfortable. So I don't know if it was just off the bat that they were like, right. You know what I mean?
I don't think they were mentally prepared for Dublin Derby.
No.
Like they didn't realise what the fucking game meant to everyone all in.
If Rovers lose Gaffney, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because he's their focal point. Like everything goes through.
He's gone anywhere, but he's 32 now, isn't he?
No, but if you get injured or something, you know what I mean? It's like, who else have they got? Your man Johnny Kenny, he's not the same player that Gaffney is. Like,
and Rovers fans also giving Gaffney or Kenny a bit of stick online. I seen he said, what the fuck? He goes, I think someone said he belongs in a cell sand with the rest of the kids doing fuck all.
He done well at Sligo, didn't he? He didn't really kick off from over in Celtic, but
does he ever kick off for it?
No, it's a ball game over there, don't it?
Yeah, so look, as I said, fucking, that was the only worry about Caspar, particularly in that game. I just thought he was really, he's been bullied by three big strikers. Draper, all Drott as well, I felt fucking probably a muscle at times too. Draper, in 3 years, he is a good player. So that would be a concern going forward. But in terms of attacking sense, Afolabi still fucking, you can get, look, as I said, everything's on fire when you're not winning.
Yeah.
And it's all roses in the garden when you are, and all of a sudden we lose on Friday, Afolabi doesn't score and people are fucking pointing the finger at him.
He's stats like, what, 1-10 is not, like, if you look at that on paper you say that's shite, like, but what he gives to the team outside of that is, like, it's essential the way Bowes plays. Holger playing on is unbelievable. Like, Dean Williams 2-2, he does deserve a crack, like.
Yeah.
Gotta give him a shot. Will he play the two of them together? I don't know. I think they'd work well together.
Well, I think you would. I think we switched the three at the back.
Yeah.
On Friday, Paddy Kirk played left centre back, and we just pushed up. And you know, there's probably a lot of Bolts fans that want to switch away from 4-2-3-1 at this edge. It feels like it's just been, we've had this like since fucking
long.
It's just really 4-2-3-1, and everyone sort of wants to support try something else. But I don't think we've got the squad and the fence to play. You have three centre halves because we've only got fucking three centre halves really.
I know, but in an ideal world, could you imagine like Grant,
Casper,
and then have Jay Ben and
You could play Connolly right wing back.
Yeah, left wing back.
The shift he puts in, fucking, did you see him? He ran his bollocks off the second half.
That was
one of the great like bowl single player performances. Yeah. Like, given the circumstances, like,
he set tone. Like, he did set tone.
Yeah, 100%
straight away in the second half. I thought he was brilliant. On Friday, it was one of his better games for us. I think. If he gets a goal, like, it's just for his confidence. Like, he had a great chance just after we scored the second.
He should have been buried it. Yeah,
he should have buried it.
If it had been a left footer, they take that first time and it probably goes in. Like, in fact, he's a right footer. He takes it out, tries to switch it out right and curl it in. It's like he just gave himself fucking that. But Mitch just gave himself probably too much time to fucking have a shot.
Definitely.
And now we march on, and I think Flora's out now for 3 games. Just red card was, I think, look, referee's made a bollocks because he's let play on.
Yeah.
See, someone said the fourth official called it, but I don't know how true it is. Like, when you look at it, I know it was in the stand, it said, it looked bad. But then when I seen the videos online, I was like, it's not. Is it a sending off?
It's one of those, though, isn't it?
It's in between. He was over the ball. He does catch him, like, and he's flying into
That's the thing. It's aggression, yes. Was it dangerous play?
Yeah.
Jordan to me is yes. Mm. Could he got away with the yellow? Possibly. It's just one of those that they're flying in between.
50-50.
Like, all the refs now, look, many yellow cards has there been so far this year?
It's average about 6 a game, I think.
It's mental. Like, and that the refs are setting a tone for it. Like, it's ridiculous.
I think Jamie Lennon was already looking to stay on at the end. He still tackled with about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he was already booked.
Man, Lonergan was only on the pitch like, 5 minutes? He got sent off with two yellow cards.
Mental.
I'm not a fan of it. The league's not the Premiership. Do you know what I mean? There is that bit of aggression in all the games. So not every tackle is a yellow card.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, I think the trend will continue, but
hopefully Flores doesn't make a blatant habit of that. He's done that last season as well, didn't he?
I think he got red card last season too.
Yeah.
Well, no, Flores definitely he seems to be really one that has, you know, grab balls with the balls.
I know, in terms of being a senior player. He's a leader anyway,
he's a totally different player compared to last year, isn't he? Like,
Well, he was a man among boys last year. Like, we've got a team of men now.
I think he's an option there at left full as well, though. Because I think Lynn James Clark was called on Friday as well. So, because I think Kirky's probably been our wing kick.
He's had some good games, he's had some bad games.
So once he's back, it's an extra body to have, isn't it?
Yeah, Clark was class when he came on.
I think Clark probably deserves a shout going ahead on the Friday. I think he's really, you know, the day performance. And the performance coming on against Patsy, you know, and he drags us up the pitch in the second half.
He does, he drives at the ball, something else, doesn't he? Like, just goes past players. And for the size of him, the strength of him. He's great. Lads just swinging out at one stage in the second half against Pats.
He's still going on. He's a big, strong lad. And hopefully, maybe he can get a run in. Hopefully, Ali Kilt's back as well. Give us another option. But
yeah,
I think he really showed him missing that Cantundi on the left as well. You know, nearly not. Some of that offers something similar to Avalab in terms of holding up the play and bringing people into it, and you've two of them playing off each other. Hopefully get those two lads back, because they're two names that go on the team sheet every time you play.
Definitely,
100%. Well, sure, look, we'll move on from Pats, and despite our big effort to get something out of that game, we unfortunately didn't, but just goes to show the fight in the team this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we'll probably go back to the start with you two lads. Yeah. Roy, you're one of the older lads, the oldest man in the room here.
Yeah, the older man, as they say,
And how did it all begin, and how did you get into the big club?
I suppose, the family, my granddad grew up just beside the Rotunda Hospital in town, went to the games when he was a kid, and moved out to Drimna. God love him. moved out to Drimna, and obviously brought the uncles along, and then, domino effect, they brought us along. So I start going, my first ever game was Cup Final Replay against Shells in Dalymount in the year 2000, and we lost to a nutsy free kick. Well, I'll never forget it. It was just we were standing in the Des Kelly, and I think it was probably my first ever live football match. Like, I was only 9, I think, and got me jersey, had like a yellow and blue Gatto jersey, still have a class it is.
And
it was just something else. I remember being obsessed with Gareth O'Connor was playing right wing, just mad speedy, you end up going to Bournemouth or something, mad tricky winger, he was quality. I remember talking about him for a month after. Then went to the next Bowls game, I was like, where is he? He's like, now he's gone. that's where it started for me and the family. There's a few of us in it, as you know, Jack and there's Brian.
It's probably Brian related to cousins.
Yeah, Brian's my cousin, So his dad goes to the game. He goes to all the way games now.
He's one that was having training last year.
Wheeling was calling him the general.
Cabo Blayton, the hanging out.
Yeah, Cabo Blayton.
He's
pretty much real. That's how we're all still going. It's him. He's there in the seat. Gets the seats every week, and it's great. It's just tradition, isn't it? We just keep going. That's really how we got into it, and still going for my sins, as they say.
Yeah, and yourself, Jack.
Yeah, well, the man beside he brought me when I was Jesus, I don't know. Probably 9 or 10 when I started going, but my first game was the 2001, the Cup Final against Longford in Tolga. So remember that very well, even though I was fucking very young, but Tucky O'Connor getting the winner, I'll never forget that. So even something like that when I was such young, it gave me that bit of buzz.
Did you fucking know?
Yeah, no, but...
the last buzz you got.
Yeah, the last buzz I got, yeah. But that's how it all really started. But same thing from the family, the uncles gone and stuff like that. As I said, Roddy started bringing me when I was about 9 or 10, and then same as I felt big enough, I started going on my own, brought the Walsh dog along, and the group just expanded then, So that was basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah, good motley crew of yous now there.
Yeah, 100%.
We started going, it was the glory years, as they say. You had winning the league, up and draw. Winning the league, I was there in Kilkenny, class.
5-0.
Yeah.
What was your memories of that?
Same idea, like sitting on a grass verge and radios are on, people listening to the Cork game, the Shells game, and it was just mad. It was mental. The crowd, and it was just, everyone went ecstatic, like it was mental. Then on the way home, there was I was with my uncle Martin, not the best driver at the best of times, but
dodgy.
He was trying to get back to Daily Mount for a few points in the celebration. I was only 9 or 10 or whatever it was, and flying along, no motorways back in the day, and next of all, I heard a boom, magpie straight through the front window. And I shit myself, didn't know what it was. Blood all over the place. So yeah, it was a bit of a delay to getting home.
Beak straight through the window,
and he had to pull it out, and he was like, oh, sure, yeah, when he was trying to drive home, crack windscreen, and good crack. But yeah, that was a fond memory of my youth following Bows anyways, yeah. And then, yeah, look, we had great years.
Mm.
Winning the Cup in the RDS in Derry.
Yeah, that was a good day, yeah.
Yeah, great day.
I suppose the day that actually we remember majorly was when we won the league in Talca, was it? I don't know if we won the league there or the result made us win it. Bobby Ryan scored the winner. I'll never forget.
That was the Ashley Bay save.
Was it? Yeah, the Ashley Bay save. But Bobby Ryan scored the winner that day. Ugly looking lad, him, innit? My God. I remember him for his fucking boat racer out of nothing else. But, I always remember that fucking game, right, for the simple reason. One of our cousins, Aaron, he doesn't go to the games. He sports him, which God love him. But anyway, he was sitting to the left of me. And, like, the goal went in, and the chap is there asleep sitting next to you, and we're all playing, celebrating. I was like, what the fuck? So that was something that just stood with me, like, throughout me whole life. No, she was about bleeding. He must have been only about bleeding. I don't know what age, about 12 or something like that. I was like, yeah, fucking mad. But that game always stood out because obviously the result, and then fella to the right, and he bleeding, falling asleep at a game when a bleeding goal goes in. But yeah.
Yeah, and there was another time, I believe, Trotty. Poor lady.
Yes, Jesus. I think that was 2006, if I'm right in saying that. But can't remember if it was 2006 or not, but Bowes Alley was in 2-0 in the game. I think Gareth Farley was the manager at the time, would he have been?
Yeah, Jock
Kelly. Yeah, Jock Kelly was there. But anyway, Bowes 2-0 down, 80 minutes gone. As I said, I think I was only about 11, 12 at the time. And Bow scored 3 goals within 10 minutes. So, obviously, we have a bit of a nickname as the Scaler, as the boys call me. So, sometimes I just take off on one. But, yeah, we scored 1 goal, 84th minute. I'd say second goal was like the 87th. Then we scored the third goal, probably 90 plus. And I obviously remember just, it was probably about 6 rows from the front. And I remember about within 2.2 seconds I was at the front, celebrating with all the fans. But anyway, following week, Bows are playing, and my uncle turned around to some elf and goes, oh, what happened to your arm? He goes, your little lad over there is at the break from last week from fucking celebrating.
Was that the terminology she used? Your little lad?
Yeah.
It was that little bastard, no?
Bollocks looking at me there.
So we got that nickname Scaler from a young age anyway, so... Quite down a small bit since.
Oh, there has been a lot of injuries in Bowes over the years. When we played Derry in the Cup, I think Matt Davani broke his ankle, Junior broke his leg, could be the other way around. I'm saying it was those two that done that, the game. Went down to Cork final season in, Jesus, the fancy dress room, there might have been a few skirmishes with people dressed up as fucking priests and doctors and whatever, but we didn't get into the game. We went into the home end and the ball came over and I snapped my ankle bleeding in the home end. Yeah. The ball came over, I was sitting beside the away fans. And the ball came over, that way I went to just grab it, like, fucking was he half cut. But we were sitting in the front row of seats, but from the front row of seats down, it's not like Daily Mount where you're just ground level.
Yeah.
Or there's a barrier there, there's like a little step. Obviously I didn't know there was a step. A few guys next to me, snap. I mean, got fucking dragged out, but I didn't even get to see an ambulance, like a bleeding. I had to walk around the whole stadium with a broken fucking ankle. But anyway, sorry for another day, but balls and injuries. A few people broke their arm up when Derry as well, fell down a hill. I don't know who that was, but...
Ralph fell off the wall.
That's right. I remember I got that far. We were in the pub after, and someone said, Ralph's gone in an ambulance. And I said, oh, he's dead. Just in my head, I was like, ah, he's gone. And I was just thinking, do you know what? The years are probably caught up on him now at this stage.
Yeah.
He goes, do you know what? He's had a good life. Next week, I was like, oh, no, he just fell off a wall. All right, that's grand. So he's not dead.
He's touching 50 anyway, that lad, is he?
Yeah. Jeez, no, I don't think he is. 10 years older than me.
Gas, man.
A good Bohemian man. A good fitness man, too.
Definitely.
But yeah, so balls and injuries, you know, the fucking. We probably do more damage to ourselves than players do.
Yeah, probably. That's all worth it.
Definitely. And I suppose, lads, there's been a couple of European trips down there. It's probably where I got to know you. And the lads got to know you. You were just flies humming around shy for a few years.
Yeah, definitely.
And then all of a sudden, you had fucking two.
That's a fucking great show. Flies humming around shy. I'm knee deep in it. Obviously, look, the. We never really met any of yous, or obviously we'd see us at the games and all that, but kept ourselves to ourselves, mostly in the members bar.
We should only go back and do it again.
Yeah, fucking hell, having a few drinks with the uncles and that, you know. So, anyways, Europe hit out and we got stern and obviously we couldn't go. We were all mad. I think everyone's mad to get away.
You just get away in general, like it was fucking poxy COVID.
COVID and all, yeah.
I think there was a great buzz around the club, but wasn't there at the time, and everyone was just buzzing with Europe. And then we got Stjarna and everyone's like, Iceland, like, Jesus, like, can't even go.
Because they were just full lockdown.
Full lockdown.
No one coming into the country. I think they had home fans at the game, but they were just like, no one's getting in.
Yeah.
And so I remember we were all in contact about fucking booking places and all like that.
Yeah. And it was mad when you think back, wasn't it? Nobody could do anything. Nobody could travel anywhere.
Everything's 2 kilometres.
Watching balls games on the telly and fucking trying to get into them.
I'm sure anyone says watching those matches at home on your own on the LOITV was fucking shite.
Oh, we used to go to each other's gaffs.
You wouldn't even cheer when you score a goal.
Mad, mental. But so we got the chance to we obviously got through against Serna, which was great and all that, and the Aviva, brilliant. Then we got the Udalange. Never forget beating Stern when I think it was half time.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the Aviva looking at booking flights. So we booked that flight to the Dowdlands and then the flash floods hit in the middle of June.
Yeah. We were on for that as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so weird. Like.
And I do remember that week. It was like, as I said, the world conspired. God had conspired against Bowles fans.
Yeah.
So they couldn't go to Europe. Yeah. As I said, the first year was proper lockdown. It was fair, sorry. And
back page.
Two page pull out in the sun the next day. Well, for me, flouting COVID rules, fucking faces marked out on the fucking thing. Anyway, so
enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, having a good time.
Yeah.
And I remember we fucking got down to, we were after the starting game. We're like, we have to go to Luxembourg. I remember we had the flights booked and all like that. And then, of course, nothing more bohemian than trying to get away in Europe was that there was flash floods in the middle of summer in mainland Europe. And I remember checking out and there was it wasn't going to be a direct train anymore, lads. And I think I'd inform just booked. I'll let you take it from there.
We were in a regular contact with yourself and a few lads. And I think... We all had holidays booked off work and everything was paid for, so we said, fuck it, we'll go and we'll get there. So we went out with a few points the night beforehand.
A few late points.
Yeah.
To the taxi cab probably.
We early flight, so jumped on the plane and Grant landed. We were all expecting, because it was roasting. I was like, lovely, happy days. Like, this train's grand, straight. So, Walji, who's the dad of the group, although he's the youngest, probably, is he?
Nah.
Yeah, he's one of you. Same age as you. He looks after me and Brian, anyways.
Yeah.
So, he was like, I know what to do. We went up to the information centre and he was like, they'll tell us which way to go and whatnot. So, Brian was sitting there and the hangover starting to kick in. And I can see he's just looking depressed. And Walji.
Old CD Brian, what?
CD Brian, yeah. And, Walji comes back, no messing, it must have been about 12 or 13 pages of what we had to do. And Brian, I was on the verge of crying, said, I'm going to Amsterdam. We talked him out of it.
On the Gary Brain going to Amsterdam, what?
Yeah. So we got train to a place called Dinant in Belgium. We had to jump on a bus then to somewhere in France, like it was south of France. And then we had to get a train from that place in France, wherever we ended up, to Libremont, and then get another train from Libremont into Luxembourg. So we got there, it was like a fucking 10-day camel ride, wasn't it? Like it
was what was meant to be a 70-minute direct train.
Yeah. Was hours. It was 5 or 6 hours, like, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. 6, eh?
Flying out in the blue wickets, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. We went in to play some cafe or something, and it was like fucking, I don't know, it was great supposed to be wicket anyway, but it was bleeding scorching out. Me and the other two boys in the blade in the height of it, me and him were like, yeah, chains on. I think that I just can't stop looking back. I just had it up to the airlock, yeah. Bailing down the road. But we went into some fucking cafe, bleeding two bottles of bleeding wicket that were supposed to be wicket, just bleeding neck, and I'm sure it was bleeding. It was about nearly 20 degrees, like,
yeah, it was a lovely place, it was deadly. But the bus we got on was like a. It was almost like leading a skilled tour bus, like.
Oh, like an old American style job,
yeah. Nearly. Yeah, it was brutal.
Face stuck to the window, man.
Oh, it was roasting as well, and everything. I got off, and we were just sweating. I was in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah,
we got there anyways, and I think I was texting you, because we didn't know who was over there.
Yeah.
Everyone was supposed to go, but not everyone went. I think there was only like 30 of us in the end.
Yeah,
well, I don't think they even knew proper time, did they?
It was over here. It has to be someone over here. So you put me on to Dav Richardson, and we just just met with the lads and a few points on the banks of some river in Luxembourg outside an Irish bar.
Yeah, and there was another Blatchersham man.
Yeah,
he accused you of something.
Gas man.
All the boys are saying, but Vinny takes the biscuit, he's fucking mad. So we were all, obviously didn't know the lads, just introduced and getting on great, few shots and all that, and we're like, ah yeah, we'll go up to another bar in the town. So like that, we were all walking, but there was two groups, and I was in the first group, and behind us was Walchy, and Walchy doesn't drink that much, like he's real level headed, like, and Vinny was buckled.
I know what Vinny's like, right?
Yeah. In the old dodgy Adidas top one. he turns around and says, who the fuck are you anyways? To Walshy. And it escalated. He started calling him Gardy. You're fucking Gardy. Get out of my face and blah, blah, blah. And all Anto and the lads are like, leave him alone. There's nothing wrong with me.
Bear in mind, they're in Luxembourg.
Yeah. We're in Luxembourg, yeah. The Gardy travelled to Luxembourg just to stop Vinny having a good time. So the lads are trying to calm him down. Anyways, the next morning, we were up at the stadium getting tickets and in the outlaunch. And I get a phone call, and it's one of the lads. What's the story? Can you put Walshy on the phone? I said, yeah, no bother. Put him on. So Walshy had on loudspeaker, and we were all in stitches. Next one, Vinny gets on the phone. Hello? You the guy in the red t-shirt, man. Walshy's like, what's the story? I just want to apologise. I'm very sorry for last night. Everyone just started pissing themselves laughing. Sorry, Fred. And it just continued for the day, didn't it? Even when we got down into the square, like before the game, the sun was just splitting. We're in this like square, it's like being on holidays.
Yeah.
And Vinny got out of a car, and everyone just pissed themselves laughing. And he's still to this day, when the two of them are in the same room, or even if we're on a train together, it's like, oh, sorry, Fred. Luxembourg friend. good crack over there. We had a great time. Jesus, Luxembourg is mad. Like it was
like that.
Even at the match, the match was unreal, right? But then when it finished, they were like obsessed because we were all singing songs. There was only a few of us. They were giving us free drink. I think they were in the stadium for about an hour. Barry Cummins nearly missed the fly home with the players.
Yeah,
he missed the bus.
Yeah, he missed the bus.
The bus.
Yeah, he had to get a taxi followed. Mad. But we were there for about an hour.
Remember it was gas, we were on the pitch after it and they were giving us bleeding tokens and all the
club.
For gargling, bleeding hot dogs and all this. But anyway, we were all bleeding on the pitch and all after fucking gargling, I was deadly buzz, whatever. But I don't know if it was you or me or whatever, literally like not even looking. So we were facing looking one way, and I just turned around to the next person. Like, that was like, take a picture. I was there bleeding striker. I was like, we're not looking. That is in the bleeding shin guards and all. Yeah, take that picture there, maybe.
Will you take it?
Yeah.
Anyone that was there was in it. Yeah. Jimmy and all was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was good old trip, Luxembourg. And then obviously there was the Greece. Greece was
the Ali Q channel though came out in Doodlands, didn't it?
By this man. Yeah, Ali Q, yeah. Myself, Paul and Brian was sitting there having the egg up on. And that song came on and it just Ali Q came into my head for whatever reason. Yeah, that's where it took off, and Jesus, we didn't stop singing it for the whole weekend.
It was quality though, quality.
But in a bar and all, you were at one stage, I think you were trying to take something out of the tail behind it.
Oh yeah, I was in behind the blade bar and all, fucking, because they literally had a computer, like I was trying to pick channels and all.
DJ.
Some fella just came up, I was pretending to serve and all, the other one just fucking reached me out in behind the bar. And I was mad, but I was fucking gassed though, because a few locals came in and they were obviously throwing their weight around. The old dad fella was getting a bit big for his books, and he's like, yeah, we'll take them, no one.
We got out there sharp,
and then fucking what's his name? Who was it? I think Vinny was blading in the Fountain, wasn't he?
Vinny and Paul
in the blading jocks and all, mad cunt. But Greece was top notch as well, wasn't it?
Greece was great. Yeah, it was good. Great for like meeting all the lads, and because everyone was over there.
How many of us were over there? Like, there must have been about
200 balls.
Andy, like,
that's just the people who were in the public.
Yeah.
So there would have been weirdos that went to the match, and there would have been other weirdos that have been in their own pub. And
yeah.
So as Walgie, yeah, mate, he went to the game, like, and see, we landed, we bought tickets on the plane, like, and because it was taking ages to get off, and we were just sitting there.
Yeah.
And like, that was, we were walking out of the hotel, and there was lads walking back in going, no, we're not getting in. So we were like, fuck, we're just going to the pub.
The undercover bleeding hunts and all over there.
Yeah,
I'm only going for an ice cream, mate. You're not made to follow me, like.
I know, that was fucking, that was mad. Like, you said, that most ages done 2 days.
Yeah.
He said, remember, Rob was turning around to me. He said, hold on, Jordan,
help
me.
Most
ages here. Yeah, two years. I remember, well, you've been away in fairness a couple of weeks before that. But remember, Rob was said, we're fucking going to Greece. We haven't been away in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he goes, me bollocks, me going for 2 days. So we go for a fucking 5 days. So we ended up going for a week anyway. And it was fucking gas. When we all made our way back to the hotel from your place, in a place called Haldiki, I think it was, down the proper cozy. It was nothing like Thessaloniki.
It was nice.
It wasn't a fucking kip. Like, if I just stayed up there, got a bus up to the match, and I was back after. It was fucking deadly down there, but when we went back up, and I was like, yeah, we have to get an escort basically from like the bottom of the runway in the airport to the runway we left when everyone left.
Yeah.
And even in the nightclub after, remember, were you staying in the nightclub?
No, I didn't.
After the match?
Don't think we met in the nightclub, unfortunately.
There was a nightclub after the match, and we were all outside of gaggling away. And,
we were.
I
remember,
we?
It was on a corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on the corner.
It was deadly, actually. It was cold.
It wasn't Horny Ken's pub, no?
No, it wasn't Horny Ken's pub.
We were there, we were all outside.
The Prince of Thessaloniki.
Yeah, the Prince.
And we remember walking back to the hotel after the game.
Mm.
And some Greek come standing beside me, and I remember looking at him again, and it's something. You are right there, like, he took like a morning full of gargle.
Yeah.
And looked at me, you are right. And he just turns around and looks at me, takes the earpiece out of his other ear, and goes, you go hotel? And I was like, yeah, I am. Yes. Fucking never had a go off the cunt, like.
Oh, Jesus, they were huge units as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, big boys, like.
I was 50 of us, we would have had them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's where we proper, you know, use integrated into the scrum.
Definitely. And it's, look, it's great crack, isn't it? Like, no matter win, lose, or draw, everyone just gets on. It's very rare that it's mad though,
because we were on the way over, we were only saying, like, what are the bleeding odds that we obviously knew our faces from the games, but it takes us to go with the bleeding Dude Lounge and fucking Thessaloniki to actually
talk to people.
Do you know what I mean?
The away trips, I think you always get to know people on the away trips, no matter where it is.
Yeah, if it's Sligo or
Cork. You've been on a few buses and whatnot, that's how you get into things. Like.
Yeah.
But there was a time after that, I think, Jack, you walked into the Fisbury House.
Oh, yeah, that was the early days that we were getting integrated.
Groomed.
Graham, yeah.
By who?
The elf English role, Bill, of course. Yeah, so he obviously recognised me face from the games and just turned around. I think he must have had about 12 Jager bombs. He was trying to carry them by himself. He goes, ah, Jager, carry them for me. And next of all, I was bleeding in the smoking area out in the fish house and I just came there. Then, I think 2 minutes later, then I was up getting a gargle at the bar and fucking the old Loinsy fellas there getting the eyeballs off him. He just turned around and he goes, you've never been in here before. You must be Garda or a Rovers cunt, are you? I was like, what the fuck? And he goes, I'm in the fucking Fizz house for sure now anyway, for fuck's sake. But yeah, no, that was when we started going to the Fizz, I suppose, or Dave's as they call it. But I suppose our part of the phone are now, you know. So.
Yeah, I didn't think I even see your cousin Mary in there. Yeah. Having a few drinks before and after the match.
Yeah, well, I saw Dan Martin. He's really, yeah. He brought us to the games. When he brought me to the games, and he's still gone. She's getting in with the crowd now.
Yeah. Real, with another soul being real.
No seats left.
And I suppose that's a bit of a wrap up there on your few years supporting Balls.
That's you talk for hours though, to be fair.
Yeah, you're fucking relentless. Bleeding said it wouldn't be a podcast, it'd be a fucking a marathon.
A Bible.
A series.
But I was asked to ask you about the bit of a disaster. Isn't there maybe another rollover, getting tickets to the Rovers game after Derry?
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ. So, this is Brian. Anyways, we went up to Derry. This was, 2-3 years ago or something.
Oh, this is the cans of Carlin and the
Jockstone. Cans of Carlin.
I walked there, before you go on, right, I'll never forget, I was walking in behind them two, right? That Bowser right beside the stadium, right? Fucking the off license there, whatever. Cans of Carlin was who fucking picked Carlin? Probably Brian, of course. Probably going around Park G Sung after 8 gargles. His eyes just go like that as soon as he gets 8 gargles into him. But anyway, fucking Brian's going, I was like, Brian, what are you going to do with them? He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just stick them down the Jocksby round, right? So I'm walking in behind him. Whatever way, I don't know how it ended up. Put it into his jock, so it was around the back of his calf. It's big can, bulking out. And he obviously wears blade and toy chains as well. I was like, and he literally just walks right in. I was like, what name is Stuart that? Like,
yeah.
Daily blind, though.
The story of that is, that's gas. So it was the Rovers Cup game. And Derry was on the Friday. And there's tickets. You had to go up to Derry Mount and get a ticket. But it was Saturday.
Yeah.
So... We had a great
big queue, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had a great idea to stay up, have a few gargles. Got a few, we went to bed and then got up and his missus Nicole dropped us now. And got a breakfast while standing in the queue, Grant, got our tickets and didn't leave the members bar until very, very, very late that night. Walgie was with us and Walgie, as you said, rarely drinks. Walt was due to go and get a school bag and go to college. He never went to college and still blames us for that day.
You're supposed to start a master's.
I could have done a master's and you just made me go on the points. that was a good old day and the bar as usual. Yeah, great.
And I'll move on. And I'll ask you, who's your favourite Balls player over the years?
I don't know. It's... I mean, cliche, but Bladen Hunty was different gravy. He really was, heart and soul, putting his body on the line and stuff like that. But he was quality as well. He had that quality on the ball. I think that he reminds you a bit of Roy Kane. Like, people would say, he just does the simple things well. But I thought he was actually an excellent player and just a leader. And he loved Bowes as well. I think that's what... Kind of, he just had that heart and passion, and I think it just that instills into the fans. Then, you know what I mean. So, but I don't know. Wardy would probably be up there as well for technical ability. Like some of the stuff that he can do on the ball is a joke, you know. So
I think I seen him walking down the stand the other day with he was at the match on Friday.
Was he? Yeah.
He was spotted with a tray of curry chips walking down.
Heavy Wardy, like him.
Hunty, there's no question for me. Hunty just takes the biscuit.
Yeah,
he was there through all the years, he was consistent, so good. And still now you'd love him to come back to the club in any aspect. He's one of them things. He is Balls. He's a bohemian. You know what I mean? The way he played is nearly the way we feel in the stands. You know what I mean? He gave everything. Bucko's a bit like that as well.
Yeah.
just going to just, I suppose, he's, look, beat the glory years. He was the captain. Was, yeah, he went through the good times and the bad times. Unreal.
Alash, is your favourite game?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Favourite game? That is a very hard one. I'm going to go for, I think the Paddy Kavanagh chip fan was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't matter games, are we?
Or, do you know what? And look, even the Mandra one where we beat them 2-1, that was just beating them cunts is great, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Set the highlights of the air, like, you beat those.
That look, yeah, it's because we, like, I suppose if we won it, like, what was it, 2009 since we last won the league? So I think, like, I was very young at that stage.
Yeah.
Like, obviously,
I was even younger.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think if you had imagine winning the league now.
Yeah, imagine winning the Leicester Cup now.
Oh, stop.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take anything. Well, yeah, no, look, I think it's coming. It is coming. You can see over the last few years, even though, like, we're very unlucky on that line. Like, it's a penalty out of the lottery.
Yeah.
And I think the way the team is playing at the minute, you'd be surprised if they don't win something the next year at the end.
Yeah. Your favourite game?
Right, sir. Rory's had, I mentioned one or two there, but I'd say the one that stood out was Dane Kelly, Bryce.
Yeah, we had
1-0 down, weren't we? I think Prendergast got the header in off the bar. And then, same thing again, I was in block F or whatever you call it, and I ended up leading at the chip fan, I think, within 12 seconds, probably. So, just 1-1, then Dane Kelly scored in the tour. I was just mental, but I just remember, I think, I don't know, he obviously started that song, Shawzy, the Twist and Show, he's a bit madman for that, but I'll never forget just being in the middle. There must have been about, you know, that the width of the path, but there must have been about
a couple of hundred.
Easily, 500 just bouncing, twist and shout, like, and I was just in the middle of it going,
nobody even watching the game.
Yeah, on top of the world, but yeah, now that game always stood out, but the Mandra one was quality as well, because I think we are out after them for a good while as well.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Definitely the games against Rovers. Yeah. I was unlucky to miss a couple though as well. I remember the Leahy game, I don't think it was that. I was raging, I missed that.
We didn't get to the stadium that day for one reason or another.
I wonder why that was.
And I suppose, get your five aside, Tim.
Brian Murphy in goal for me.
What do you get a fourth person to say that?
He's class. He was just
unreal.
Even when he came back and played for Waterford, he was savage. He's unreal, just a class keeper. Detta, Mr. Reliable. I go with Hunty, and then I go Fergal Harkin. Fergal Harkin.
What a player!
Class on the ball. Ridiculous. He used to wear the Talton 90 boots.
And yeah, Talton 90.
I begged me, man, that. Because if I got them boots, I'd be Fergal Harkin. And then Crowley up top. Crowley's just a pure goal scorer. Just ridiculous. How he'll play, everything.
Mm-hmm. Jack, you're a bit younger. Yours might differ a little bit.
Yeah. I probably would go Murphy, but I'm not going to be a copycat guy, I suppose. But now I go subs and goal. Obviously, I know Talbot as well, so he might be not too impressed with that. But I think Sush, he was unbelievable.
Like, think about it, when players ran 1-on-1, you expect them. He's going to save, and he did 9 times out of 10. Like.
He made himself like 10 times better. Like. I remember even just looking at some snapshots of him. Do you know when people are going 1-on-1, he just looks like he's about 8 foot tall. Like. Yeah. I know he's a big lad, but... him in the sticks. Detta, of course. This next one is actually going to be controversial because it's probably what you've done for Bowers, but I thought he was absolute sick joke. I never seen a lad dribble with the ball as a centre back as much of my life, but I was like Brian Shelley in there beside him. in terms of ability, you might throw him in, but a better centre half, have I seen him at Bowers? I don't think so. On his day, I'll probably get a stick out of this, but sure, look, we'll take it.
Get a stick for going two at the back as well.
Yeah. Hungry. I'll go hungry.
You know, a lot of people make a mistake by putting six in this, you know that?
Do
they? People don't count the paper. Give them correct to people. Yeah, like, well, hold on, you've got two defenders, two midfielders, and a striker now, you've got it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Then I'll go with Hundy, Wardy and Crow.
Hundy, Wardy and Crow.
Hundy, Wardy and Crow, yeah. My side, bad as your side, but...
I don't know. Stick it out there.
Stick it out there. We'll put it on the pulse. We'll put it to the pulse.
Put it on the pulse.
And I suppose, second last question. If you had to pick one player, dead or alive, to go for a drink with, who would it be? Obviously, doesn't have to be Wells.
I have one off the bat, anyway.
Let me see. Go on, you say yours.
Jimmy Bullard. What a man. What a legend.
He comes across as a wanker to me, man.
Stop, Lee. He's a blade legend, man.
I'd like to go out with Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish.
He probably wouldn't come home.
Jimmy
Bullard
is
a legend. I just think he's a deadly character. And then just even seeing him as a player, like, did you ever see that celebration? Your man Brown and all. Like, he just... Even on Soccer AM, I just think he's a blade.
Not that I haven't watched it in years. I'm actually watching.
But there could be loads of people. At least it could be as long as that. Like, you know, yeah. But
99% of people say Maradona.
Yeah, but that's just
it's fucking bogged standard.
No thinking, like,
yeah.
It's blade and lads going on the hill or something, you know, ourselves.
So, yeah. But that would be the
one. This is a bit of a left field one.
Mike Long.
Jesus Christ. Bar the brains out here. I'd love to Zidane. I just think he, like, I'd love to know what went through his head for the whole Materazzi thing, like, and, you know, what he's done in the game, like,
that volley in the final, like,
yeah, and then managing teams as well, like, I'd say just pick his brains. I'd love to see
he's not managing at the moment, sure, isn't he?
No, but he'd probably get a French job or something.
I'm saying he's won five.
Walk into a job,
won five Champions Leagues. He's probably ready for a thing to go France.
But yeah, that would be mine.
Two would have to stay in France now. Two times anyone said anything. No one's ever gonna say Jimmy Bullard again, so I wouldn't have to worry about that.
You sure about that?
And suppose actually I was watching Soccer AM on Twitter. People had like all the old school Soccer AM clips, the Soccerettes and all, like, stuff you call them.
Oh, I seen that, man.
As a 13-year-old boy.
When the board used to come out in the jerseys and all, you'd be like, what age are you? 21.
Great age. It's not an openness, man. Great age. And he goes, have you got a boyfriend? Yes. It will never last. fucking hell, you wouldn't get away with these days. What was TV gold? Like, fucking,
it
was brilliant. As a young teenage boy, that'd be my favourite part of the show. And the final question here, I'll ask you first, Jack, what does pause mean to you?
Yeah, I suppose it's cliche, but everything, like, it's family, it's togetherness, it's everything, like, it's hard to put it into words, to be fair, but, you know, I suppose the likes of ourselves, me, Rory, Brian, John, Martin, the uncles, even Walshy, like, it's like when we probably only got close to Brian probably
true balls,
like, but even like when we are gone, obviously we're gone years, but, you know, I suppose as soon as we hit an age that we could even gargle, we still went to the games and just kind of went home, but
mm-hmm.
I suppose it got to a stage where, I don't know, we got to know more people around the club and stuff like that, and it's just like, sure, we are bleeding groundsmen on his wedding and all that, you know, so I think it's, and then even Walshy as well, like, Walshy be a neighbour of mine, and we just got him into it, and, you know, just, the boss just brings everyone closer together, like, so it's, and then it's memories for the lifetime as well, like, you know. So I suppose you wouldn't be sitting here either, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's a fucking, it's certainly a dedication, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And yourself, Rory?
Yeah, it's like family and friends, isn't it? I think I'm lucky, like, to be involved in Bowers, like, you know what I mean? Because it's like a religion nearly, isn't it?
It's a cult.
Like, it's a cult, yeah. You know I mean? It's, everyone gets on you. Like, no matter who you meet in Bowers, they're all most lads that sound, I mean,
yeah,
and you can sit down and have a drink with them, like, that you sit down, didn't, if you don't know people, you get to know them in a half an hour, and then next all you see them at the games the following week, and it's just, it's brilliant. Like, I love it. It's brilliant. You wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
Change a few of the results now, but
yeah,
sure, and the cabinet as well.
Yeah, and I suppose I said, we're all here as well, so
yeah,
hopefully the season can be a bit kinder to us, because I think we deserve it.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely do. Yeah, I think, as I said, it's coming, like, it has to. Like, it's been too long since we had a bit of silverware, so you can see the togetherness in the team this year. You can see it in them, like, when they're playing.
It means something to them.
It means something to them, yeah. And, we're playing well, getting results, and then even when we're not playing well, we're getting results, and it's a good sign for, if it keeps up, I think we're in with a chance of something this year. I'm not going to say what it is, but we're in with a chance of something.
Yeah. As I said, it's been a good week. Well, today is Monday. It's been a good day for the Horsesiders. Yeah. So, without saying too much, we're not off the stage tonight.
Stranger things happen.
It's fucking happened, dude. So, he's like Brendan Gleeson leaving today. Well, suppose we look forward to the match now on Friday as we take on Drogheda United. I think, what was the word you used when you walked in? We chatted about it earlier on.
It's a banana skin, I think. Look, coming out of the loss,
we've bounced back very well from loss.
We have. But it's a tight pitch up there. They're hard to play against. I think if we score early, I think we could probably blow them out of the park. But if the longer the game goes on, I don't think Drogheda have lost by much at home. Like,
yeah,
they drew at Rovers. I think they lost 1-0 to Dundalk, maybe 30 as well. I don't think there's been many goals up there that they conceded. I'm hoping for the next three games it's 9 points. It should be 9 points looking at it on paper. You say, yeah, Drogheda away, UCD and Cork, they're must wins. Yeah. If we've any aspirations of doing that this year, they're must wins.
Yeah, and otherwise, as you said, that's not how football works.
No.
As you said, fucking, it's definitely not. You lose a game, it's obviously a bit different to this fixture, but you lose a game and it's hard to see where you get your next win from.
Yeah.
Then you win a game and you're like, well, we're going to go and beat now for the rest of the season. Like, it's mad how the mind works in that sense, but I think we are going up there. I don't think our results up there have been the best over the last. I know we won last year at Bort, but I don't think it's been too kind since they came back up.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. Yeah, it's a tight pitch. It is. It's a small pitch, and you'd hope that we'd be able to, get something early doors to get out of that nervousness. I think if that nervousness creeps in, you can kind of sense it in the stands and stuff, and then the players might sense it as well. So
We thought that he causes a few problems in Dalia.
Yeah, man, Draper's a very good player.
Draper's a good player. Rooney causes a few problems out wide as well.
Yeah, and who's your dad we were linked with as well?
That's big fucking basketball player they have playing centre half.
Who's the winger that we were linked to sign, and he actually ended up signing
back? Darren Markey.
That's it. He caused a bit of trouble too.
Yeah, he did actually, yeah. That's right. But no, look, I think if we come out of the blocks sharp, I think when Bowers play at a good intensity, you look at the first 20 minutes of the Rovers game, we came out fast.
Same on Friday. I had a sense of, comparing bleed. We're not looking at the Liverpool match down there. Yeah. It nearly reminds you of, Klopp's Liverpool, where they tried blow you out of water the first 20 minutes and we didn't get the goal the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And you'd not be fearful that, we're not running out of gas, but after 20 minutes we're coming unstuck.
Yeah, the Rovers game, as I said, sucker punch. Pats was ascending off. I think they should be looking at it next three games, 9 points, keep the train going. And then we've Rovers again very soon.
I'm actually away. I'm away next Friday for a couple of weeks, but I'm actually delighted not to be on now. Fucking certain that the boys this fixture now at this stage.
Yeah, when to be howling in the kip. As I said, gonna say it again.
You have to be looking at 9 out of 9. You have to be.
Yeah, I think you definitely, if you want to win the league. Like I said, we win those three games. Players don't look at it like that. Players will hopefully not look like that. They look at Friday. one game at a time.
As a fan, you'd love to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you can't. You're just looking at, you look at a congestion of games, you go, well, this is what we have to take from this, and as we should look forward to them. But I'm hoping that we get them 9 points. If we win those three games, there's every chance we'd be 7+ points clear at the top. The way the fixtures work, Rovers playing Derry, Derry playing Pat, Pat's playing Rovers,
yeah.
We could be 7+ going into June, middle of May, June.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get that gap there, personally, to me, I'd fucking scrap. If there's any mid-season breakdowns with them, I'd tell them, here, lads, fucking hijack you. The club will pay for you to go away for the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Fucking, many teams come back after the mid-season breaking out the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we just keep motoring on, and now that's the only break to get you under some, but fuck it, they got things at stake here, boys.
Oh yes. It'll be interesting to see on Friday if he gives Dan Williams a crack.
Can't throttle it, maybe toy pitch.
He's played up there. He was up there last year.
Yeah.
James Clark's the same, knows the pitch. Does he I think the two lads deserve a start.
Definitely.
Clark was unreal, and he was great on Friday. He was great up in Derry, and then against Patsy was brilliant as well. He changed the game when he came on. So, and then Dan Williams has 2-2. I'm not saying drop off a lab, but is it a thing of
Japan play together? Number 10, Japan on the left.
Two up top rather than one up top.
Scrap podcast. But so I'll get a prediction off you for Friday.
I'm gonna go with 2-0 win for Boss.
Jack.
Was
Casper scored 60-1 at last?
No.
I don't think he plays this week, another.
No.
I think it could be Horton and Novak.
I think Grant is the two Polish lads done well for a period of the games, but I think Grant starts every week for me. I think he's just more physical than the two boys. I think he's got that kind of
boy nasty.
Yeah. I think Novak should start as well on the basis that he's your senior centre half. He's experienced, he's 27, he's been around Europe and back.
Yeah.
I think he probably deserves to get back in the look now, particularly after Castro's been poor the last couple of games, I think.
I think we alluded to it there before we started that he struggled against a kind of physical striker. So, yeah, man, Draper is physical, but I think he played against them all. He done all right against them at home. So
Draper got.
He did. Do you know what? He played well. He did play well on the basis of two games against two very good strikers in Gaffney and Doyle.
Yeah, probably two of the best strikers in the league, to be honest.
Yeah, do you just drop him on that? You need a bit of consistency in the team as well. You can't keep changing the centre defence, but Grant definitely plays for me.
Yeah. Ben, way back?
Yeah.
I think we should
stick him, yeah. I think he's a very nice footballer. He was at fault for the third goal, and maybe he was at fault for two of the goals against Pats. So, he's still young, but he's turned into a good player. He's just inexperienced, I think, at a senior level. So, I'd rather him there than anyone else.
Yeah, and Jack Scott.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Boss.
2-1 Boss.
2-1 Boss.
I'm gonna say 2-1 as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose faster from this week because of the season that's in it.
Mm.
How do we think the end of the year will fare?
I don't know. I think they won't win the league. No, I don't think so. Looking at,
if you had a one for Friday, everyone's going, yeah, of course.
It's 20 games. It's a long season. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I thought Rovers popped us. I know we talk about the first 20 minutes, but Rovers, they look like they're in blade force gear, man. I think
their
second 11 is capable of winning the league.
Have to get the fucking Europe. They need to be going into Europe, but
I still think that their strength in their squad. Look, I hope I'm wrong, but I think, yeah, looking at us playing there on Friday with Pats and stuff like that, to be going 1-0 up, and conceding 3 goals it's just criminal, in my opinion.
That's the way the league's been. Rovers going 2-0 down against Shells at home.
Yeah.
It's fucking criminal. Shells who barely get two shots on target most games.
I do think we'll finish second, but I think once they get Maldron, I don't think there'll be I don't know if there'll be much in it, but I think they're a lot stronger.
I'm gonna go with, I think we'll, it's very hard to say in the league, it's long, but I do fancy us for a cup. I think this year could be the year that we get hands on the cup. Heartache there a few years ago.
Heartache every year.
Heartache every year.
Misery.
Yeah, the misery, yeah. But yeah, look, the league is hard to call. Like as you said, Rovers going into Europe, they're not the only team in Europe either.
No.
It'll depend on where the Lloyd and land is. Both keep going the way we are and taking it each game as it comes, and everyone else is beating each other. Like last weekend was very good for us because nearly everyone drew.
Yeah. So it was a loss, but it was only a point loss.
Exactly, exactly. So like it's working out in our favour so far. So you know, if it continues that way, like and we're sitting in the summer going into a summer break and we've got 10 points, our mindset as fans will definitely change, and you can imagine the lads in the changing room will change as well.
Yeah.
I think at the minute they're just looking at it every game and it goes
100%, but so as I said, I think these next 3 games will be important.
If you have any aspirations to doing anything Europe or winning the league, you have to be getting 9 points out of the next 3 games, and then like that getting the confidence back as well, because it's not great. Like I'm sure the lads are kind of thinking Dublin derbies, we've only won 1-4.
Yeah,
they do think about it. It's like the human beings at the end of the day.
The thing about Dublin derbies is at the end of the season they normally balance themselves out.
Let's hope so.
Like how many times are you saying we beat Rovers twice or three times, and you know they'll always get the win at the end?
Yeah.
If we are going to be in the title show, if it does getting that win at the end, that could be a massive 3 points.
Yeah.
And obviously, I hope we beat the Cunts three times.
We do have to beat them.
We're going to have to beat Rovers. We're going to have to take at least 4 points off Rovers. Mm. I think that you can't lose fucking 12 points or 10 points.
Yeah.
No. And try with a league. You can't give them a 10 points a start in your games.
How far do they go in Europe? But that's the thing. That'll be a massive aspect.
Minimum, really, they're going to have a minimum of 8 games.
Yeah, so they.
Yeah.
Possibly 14. I know what basically Bradley turned around last season and he said, yeah, we're actually fucking off the group stages because we actually want to win the league so we can do it again next year. Which is a mad concept because the whole idea is qualify for the group stages. Yeah. But once they got there, it's like, well, fuck this. We have to win the league. That's more important because we won't get to do this next year.
Yeah,
it's mad. It's like once you get there, it's like
it's that's in the bank now. That's money's in the bank. Now. Yeah.
We're not going to get to the group, the knockout stages. So I'm just hopeful that obviously I hope the Cunts don't get to bleed in the group stages again. But if it benefits us, and the fact that we've been talking about this just goes to show the fucking belief that
that's the possibilities. Well, yeah, it's look, I said it to you already. Like before the season started, 10 games in to be top of the league by four points, you would have fucking snapped your hand off. Would have said happy days, lovely.
Yeah.
I think everyone was kind of going into this year kind of a bit apprehensive in a way,
I said why the long reason we can't finish third? They're not having the budget that we have. So Pat's Clancy's team said the fans ordered them out 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
Like they're going to be hit and miss, I think, this season. I think they could
I
don't think they're great at all. They had 10 minutes against us, that was it.
Yeah, that was a mad 10 minutes. And then we peppered them second half. Look, he was on the verge of being sacked.
Yeah. So the people had said after we beat them, oh yeah, he's gone, long will be in there during the weekly.
Yeah.
So I think Pat's in a bit of a false position, probably maybe BR too, but fuck him, I'm gonna ride the bollocks out of it.
Yeah. We might get an old trip to Watford in the cup. That's written in the stars, isn't it?
Oh, it's there was nothing short than Keith Long knocking us out of the cup, wasn't it?
Oh god.
But sure, look, we'll finish with that. Jack, you're doing a bit of football these days, actually, in one-to-one training, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah. So,
who's the big ones you've trained so far?
Yeah, so, Mulroney, Cleary, Wilson, obviously, who was with us before, so give him a bit of stick the other time. obviously, Ryan Bourke.
There is a bit of a listen after this, I think. You might tune in with Jules.
Yeah, you might tune in. It was a good few. Who else? Cian Gaprani as well off Derby. There's a couple there. Carl Bourne was away in England as well. So, hopefully keep going on that anyway, you know. So,
Big Evan didn't drop in at any stage, no?
What?
Big Evan didn't drop in at any stage.
Big Evan.
Ferguson?
No, unfortunately not. We show him a DM now.
Yeah,
we might get a big move, what? Bows will be rich in no time. You know?
So look, lads, we'll wrap up as we do every week.
Yeah.
Come on, the fucking
balls. Come on, the fucking balls.
Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys and more proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again and say,